In today's news headlines, the New York Times reported on Monday that the White House has now expanded the scope of the FBI probe into Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The FBI investigation was initially defined as being very narrow in scope and with a strict one-week time limit. While the time limit hasn't changed, the scope is now apparently broadened. This is how the Times described it. Quote, the broadening inquiry produced an unusual spectacle as friends and classmates from Judge Kavanaugh's past provided dueling portraits of the nominee in his younger days, either a good-natured student incapable of the alleged behavior or a stumbling drunk who could easily have blacked out and forgotten inappropriate behavior at alcohol-soaked parties, end of quote. On Tuesday, reports emerged that the FBI has already interviewed Kavanaugh's friend, Mark Judge, who is implicated in some of the allegations. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said on Monday that the full Senate vote on Kavanaugh would proceed at the end of the week.
And so let me make it very clear. The time for endless delay and obstruction has come to a close. Judge Kavanaugh's nomination is out of committee. We're considering it here on the floor. And Mr. President, we'll be voting this week.
That's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Monday saying there will be a vote on Kavanaugh this week. McConnell is focusing his efforts on the three Republican senators most likely to vote against Kavanaugh, Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Jeff Flake of Arizona. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer relayed the Democrats' strategy in the wake of Thursday's harrowing Senate Judiciary Committee hearing.
Anyone who watched the Judiciary Committee hearing on Thursday should have serious, if not disqualifying, doubts about Judge Kavanaugh's credibility and independence, qualities we should expect in any Supreme Court justice.
That's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer asserting that Kavanaugh lacked the temperament and character for a Supreme Court justice. Schumer is worried about three so-called red state Democrats voting for Kavanaugh, Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, Joe Donnelly of Indiana, and Joe Manchin of West Virginia. All three are hoping Kavanaugh simply drops out. Meanwhile, a new poll has found Kavanaugh's support among the American public sinking even further, especially among women. The CBS poll found that only 29% of American women think that Kavanaugh should be confirmed. NBC interviewed Julie Swetnick, a third woman who has made allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. Here are some excerpts from her interview.
He was very aggressive, very sloppy drunk, very mean drunk. I saw him go up to girls and paw on them, try to, you know, get a little too handsy, touching them in private parts. I saw him try to shift clothing. I saw him push girls against walls. He would pretend to stumble and stumble into them and knock them into a wall. He'd push his body against theirs. He would grope them.
And in your declaration, you describe Brett Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge standing outside,
yes,
seeing them stand outside a door.
Yes, with other boys.
That's Julie Swetnick, who says she was gang raped after being drugged at a party that Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge were at. After today's news headlines, we'll dig deep into what law enforcement agents could explore in the FBI probe, including the lies that Kavanaugh appears to have told last Thursday. My guest will be Marjorie Cohn, Professor Emerita of the Thomas Jefferson School of Law. In other news, on Monday evening, President Trump gathered his cabinet for a press conference outside the White House to laud the new trade agreement that will be replacing the decades-old North America Free Trade Agreement. The new deal is to be called the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. Trump said, quote, it's not NAFTA redone, it's a brand new deal. Also at the press conference, Trump mocked a female journalist and then answered her question on the trade deal.
Sure. She's shocked that I picked her.
No.
She's like in a state of shock.
I'm not thinking, Mr.
That's
President.
That's okay. I know you're not thinking. You never do.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
In a tweet this weekend, Mr. President, you said that it's incorrect to say you're limiting the scope of the FBI investigation.
What does that have to do with trade? I don't mind answering the question, but, you know, I'd like to do the trade
question. It has to do with the other headline in the news, which is the Kavanaugh
nomination. I know, but how about talking about trade, and then we'll get to that. We'll do that a little bit later.
Do you think the
Anybody have a trade?
Do you think your trade deal will pass through Congress, sir?
I think so, but, you know, if it doesn't, we have lots of other alternatives. But I do think so. I think if they're fair, which is a big question, but if it's fair on both sides, the Republicans love it, industry loves it, our country loves it, If it's fair, it will pass. I think it'll pass easily, really easily, because it's a great deal. I mean, NAFTA passed. It's one of the worst deals I've ever seen. Inconceivable that it was made. Fair question. Any other questions on trade? I'll get back to you on the other question.
That's Trump speaking with Cecilia Vega of ABC News at a press conference on Monday in a manner that shocked people. He later also had sharp words for CNN reporter Caitlin Collins. According to the Guardian newspaper, quote, somewhere in a Republican nerve center, strategists were probably striking out several more seats that hinge on the support of suburban women. Amazon made a surprise announcement on Tuesday morning that it was raising its employee minimum wage to $15 an hour. As per CNN, the change takes effect November 1st and applies to full-time, part-time, and temporary workers. Amazon says the $15 minimum wage will benefit more than 250,000 Amazon employees, plus 100,000 seasonal workers. Amazon CEO and founder Jeff Bezos, who is the world's richest man and who's been the target of fierce criticism for underpaying his employees, said, quote, "We listened to our critics, thought hard about what we wanted to do, and decided we want to lead. We're excited about this change and encourage our competitors and other large employers to join us." A number of activists disrupted a public hearing at the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, on Monday. The EPA was holding a hearing on a plan to weaken fuel efficiency standards for vehicles by letting states write their own emission rules. It was to be the only such public hearing on the rule change. The political display was organized by the group People's Action, with activists wearing T-shirts that read, "Stop Killing Us." They chanted until the three EPA representatives at the meeting left. In a statement, the organization said, "We refuse to sit passively while the Trump administration is making decisions that will kill poor people and people of color." In immigration news, federal lawmakers from both major parties are crafting a new bill banning the arrest of any undocumented immigrants that come forward to sponsor an undocumented child. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency was under fire for arresting dozens of parents and relatives who showed up to sponsor children in detention. And there have been ICE raids happening in cities across the country in recent days, from Madison, Wisconsin, to San Diego and Los Angeles in California, and in cities in North Texas, Oklahoma, Michigan, and Ohio. One ICE official in San Diego claimed that the hundreds of people who have been rounded up and arrested are, quote, coincidental and not part of a coordinated effort. In international news, the deadly toll of Indonesia's earthquake and tsunami is growing, days after thousands of buildings collapsed from an 18 to 20-foot wave, with a total of 1,234 deaths. The number is expected to rise even further. Anger has built up along the coastal village of Donggala, where the tsunami hit hard, and where people are still waiting for the central government to respond with aid and rescue efforts. President Joko Widodo has asked the international community to help, and 10 nations have already offered to do so, but global aid may be more long-term than the short-term help that is desperately needed. Thousands of people are still believed to be trapped under rubble 5 days after the disaster struck. 14 years ago, a deadly tsunami in the Pacific hit numerous nations and caused the deaths of more than 200,000 people. And that does it for our headlines today.